This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Gail Manis, a.k.a. Sarah Klein-Sundberg.
Whichever way it wants to go. And you're listening to Living and Loving in NYC. Woo! So today is going to be a good one, I think. I'm going to let Miss Manis introduce the guests in a sec, but as usual, I'm going to say a couple things. First of all, I'm going to give our international report. We still have Ghana listening to us. However, this month, there are only 4 listeners in Ghana, but Ghana, we don't want to lose you. Don't let us go. You know that I measure all of my success based on you for some weird reason that I should probably evaluate in therapy. Still doing really strong in Australia. And I think I mentioned that we were starting to get listeners in Saudi Arabia, and that's continued too. And again, I still have no idea how any of you find the show. So let us know. Email me slutty4lesbian@gmail.com, and that's 4 F-O-R, not the number, because that would be even sluttier. And then a couple of email shout outs. Well, first of all, there's this person who has sent me things a bunch of times throughout the last 6 months, and I haven't shouted them out yet because they just send me like really vague things. Like, when we did that, that episode where we talked about putting your sex toys in the dishwasher, this person just, which we can discuss with you. They just emailed me and said, don't do that. Don't put your stuff in the dishwasher, and then nothing else. Anyway, but they recently sent me some really weird, funny cartoon about like old gay men in the West Village. And I don't know their name. They just, all their email address just says nickname spelled with a Y. I won't give you the backwards handle because it's actually not what you think. But anyway, thanks for constantly being weird, nickname. I appreciate that. And then also we were, you might remember in our last episode, we were talking about eggplant as, the emoji for penis. We got an email from someone named Sadie. They said that they're based in NYC and bisexual. They didn't give, oh, you know what? Actually, it's probably a woman because her handle is Sadie Tech Lady. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know.
Might be a woman.
I don't know what their gender is, but, you know, at least their handle is gendered. And they said that eggplant actually meant black, that it was the emoji for black penis, which you, Miss Manis, you thought that wasn't true. I don't know.
I think it's all penis, but I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah. And I have no idea. I don't know what this person's background is. So I don't know. Anyway, thank you for shouting out and saying hi. And again, if you ever hear us say anything that you think is complete bullshit, let us know. And then sometimes we'll tell you we think you're wrong. And then also shout out to Filthy Media. We got on their listicle, another listicle where we were listed among the best sex podcasts up there with, Savage Lovecast, NPR stuff, and then also Loveline, which is going to tie into everywhere we're about to go right now. I actually had the opportunity to meet with one of the co-hosts of Loveline, Dr. Chris Donahue. And we had an interesting talk, and I do have to make a disclaimer that I was paid by a specific sex toy company to meet with him and to go and check out their stuff. So there's that disclaimer. But that said, I was very interested, and the sex toy company is called Tinga, and most of their products, the vast majority, are for cisgendered men and people with penises. And they did this study on masturbation in the United States, and the disclaimer was that it was entirely among cisgendered individuals. The answers aren't that surprising. Most people masturbate, and about 60% of masturbators in the United States use sex toys, but shockingly, only 10% of those who use sex toys were cisgendered men. And so that's interesting. And so Tinga has a long line of products for your penis. And I got a few of them and haven't figured out how to use them at this point with myself. But I will say my girlfriend, and she said it's okay for me to say this on the show, that some of their products are so pretty it made her wish she had a dick. And Miss Manus, I think you have something that you want to...
Well, I just want to share a great off-label use for the Tenga egg that somebody at a sex toy store once showed me, which is that you can actually roll them over the head of a Hitachi... well, I guess it's not called a Hitachi magic wand anymore because I think Hitachi no longer makes it and some other company makes it, and it's just called a magic wand, and it has since been updated. Yeah, you can roll it over the head of that to... I guess, A, like, kind of cushion it a little bit. And if you're the kind of person who feels like a Hitachi takes your clit off.
They're pretty intense. They're hard.
You can, and also there's that kind of pleather finish to it. It gets a little stained. So if you want to mask that, yeah, Tenga eggs work for that, even if you don't have a penis. I think this is when we will introduce our guest. Like the Victator said, we were invited, and the Victator was paid by Tenga to go to this Sex and Health
Expo.
Wait,
just for a second. Let's just point out you could have been paid but chose not to.
Yes, this is true.
Like, it's not like I just, like, took all
the money.
No,
I wasn't. That wasn't. But yeah, sorry. That was not a. That was not me throwing shade at the Victator. I was just, you know, me and my stupid principles. Anyway. We went to the Sex and Health. We went to Sex and Health Expo. It was very interesting. Met a bunch of cool people, including Rena here, who I will let she can introduce herself.
Hi, this is Rena, aka the brown skin candy girl from Indulgence Boutique. You can find me online. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, Snapchat. So I'll give it back to Sarah.
Thank you. I don't know. I'm actually like, I want to, let's talk a little bit more. You kind of, your eyes kind of like lit up a little bit when Vicky said something, about the Tenga egg. And I'm curious what you had to say about it.
I realize you probably are some sort of competitor. Is that correct?
No,
you're not. Okay. Well, anyway, well then, you know, I'll just shut up. You guys talk.
No. There's no competition there. I don't have any male parts. I have all female parts. As far as, you know, Tenga and, you know, masturbation, products, what you said about the 10% of men, what I find a lot of men don't like to use products just because it kind of makes them feel like weird a little bit. Like they'll use a lube, they'll use their hand, they'll use someone else, but sometimes going out and purchasing those items, a lot of times the masculine, manly males, they kind of feel a little feminine if they're going to buy something to make themselves get off.
Yeah, that's actually what, there was a Q&A with Dr. Chris Donahue, and I asked him, like, well, why do you think that is? And again, he hasn't, you know, he said, well, hey, you know, he's a licensed sex therapist and all that stuff, but he hasn't necessarily done, like, a big study to find out why. But his main answer was some sort of socialization of masculinity, mm-hmm. and that sex toys are for women, and I thought that was a viable response for sure.
One thing I know nothing about Japanese culture, so I'm kind of talking out of my ass, but I did note, so apparently Tenga is a Japanese company, and the other mostly male sex toy company, I think, that happened to be at the expo and also that I know about is Aneros or Aneros. I don't know how to pronounce it, which makes like prostate stimulating butt plugs, essentially. They are also Japanese, said the Tenga people, which led me to talk to my spouse who grew up in Japan. And he says that it's just like much less, there's not like the shame and stigma about masturbation in Japan that we have here. Like there'll be like anime cartoons, like instructing boys how to masturbate without making a mess and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's part of like we might have we in the U.S. might have a cultural kind of squick about it. And I think that maybe these companies are Japanese because the Japanese don't. I want to talk a lot of different things about sex toys. But one of the things I want to talk about is that, like, I feel like women, like in the last 10, 15 years, there's been so much encouragement for women to buy sex toys for themselves, to like figure out how to orgasm if they can't, you know, if they haven't figured that out yet and all that stuff. And male masturbation tools, we kind of laugh at, right? A little bit. Or like, I mean, I, God forbid that I would, I'm just saying, it's like, I feel like in the, it's more of kind of like a punchline, like in a sitcom or something, than female masturbation is, maybe.
It's more so, at least in my view, let's say I'm not one of the experts. I'm not nearly where Dr. Chris Donahue is, whom I happen to personally love, by the way. Hopefully you're listening. I love you. but in my view, it is more so this country. In the U.S., sex in itself is very taboo. They don't want to talk about it. It's okay to exploit women. It's okay to show lady parts. But when you come to men, you'll see them covered up. Maybe you'll see a bare chest. Maybe you might see a picture of their butt. But anything more than that, more than just the inner thigh, you won't see it on TV. You won't really see it in mainstream media because it's looked upon as taboo. It's not okay. It's not okay to talk about sex. It's not okay, but it's okay to have innuendos as long as it's not during the Super Bowl. So,
yeah,
you know, mainstream media just isn't very receptive of it, which I think is very bad. I don't agree with that. I really do believe that this country needs to kind of open up its mind, at least come out of the cracks and crevices, come out of your hiding places. Everyone enjoys sex. Stop playing and acting like you don't, because you right. do, but what they do is they try to enjoy it behind closed doors. They don't want people to know that they have sex toys. Mm-hmm. They don't want people to know that they look at porn. They don't want people to know that they enjoy porn, that they enjoy swinging, that they enjoy a poly relationship, because it's just so taboo. Everyone wants the white picket fence and the heterosexual relationship in this country, because that's what the good old boys club says is American. Mm. And you're un-American if you don't follow that pseudonym, that paradigm of the perfect relationship, the perfect family. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with that.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think you're definitely hitting the nail on your head when you say stop playing everyone like sex. And we're going to exclude the sex repulsed asexuals from that, obviously. And there are many non-sex repulsed asexuals, for the record. But also what I'm thinking when we're talking about not only cisgendered male resistance to using sex toys, but also how it's okay to show lady parts but not dude parts. It is interesting, though. It seems like it's only okay to show lady parts when there's a man in control of how those lady parts are revealed, because it's okay to have, it's okay to have pictures in every magazine of a woman with her boobs out, not necessarily with nipple, but very suggestive. But then there's all this reluctance to let women breastfeed in public. And so it's kind of like, oh, well, yeah, these things are okay as long as we're deciding. When they're for us, it's okay. And I think when it comes to masturbation, one of the beautiful things about it is it's really not for anyone but you. Unless it's, of course, partnered masturbation, which is also fun and we can talk about when we get to talking about sex toys. But also, I would say, in relation to the sex toys and also the lack of exposure when it comes to male sexual parts, sometimes, and this could just be my queer feminist perspective poking in, as it often does, but perhaps there's also some sort of level of homophobia involved in that, too. I feel like a lot of guys maybe feel like sex toys is a thing that gay men do, not that straight men do, and that it kind of adds to some level of quote-unquote perversion. And then also, since it's generally the heterosexual men in control of what kind of parts we're seeing in media, maybe it's that old adage that homophobia is the fear of being objectified the way women are. Because I don't know.
I mean, some male sex toys hide genitalia, though. So there's that. You could technically. I'm also wondering what the chicken and the egg is. It might just be that, like, gay men, because they've already kind of gone off track in terms of what the script is for mainstream masculinity, are just more open to sex toys. Therefore, we think of sex toys as a gay thing. I also feel like we tend to think of sex toys, or I do, because I guess because I'm a woman with a vagina, I tend to think of sex toys in terms of insertables. And I was like, yeah, oh yeah, that's right. There are sex toys out there that are made for sticking your penis into. Like, I don't think about that very often, to be honest.
Why don't we check in with you 1 second? Why don't you tell us a little more about our company, and then that'll help lead us into...
Okay, so Indulgence Boutique, basically, it's my vision. It's soon to be a brick and mortar, but right now I have a corporate location based out of Princeton, New Jersey. And basically what it is I have a very open viewpoint on a lot of different things, and I had many friends, associates, and perfect strangers that will walk up and approach me and talk to me about everything and nothing, including relationships and sex. And what happened was I would always want to refer them to someone or somewhere where they can go and get counsel, where they can go find a toy, where they can go and feel comfortable being themselves, feel comfortable in their own skin, whether they wanted to explore something, whatever. And I said, you know, let me do some research and see where I can send you, and I'll get back to you. And I could not find it. I had a tough time finding a store, a storefront, a location in my immediate area that would allow people to come in and be themselves and be warm to them and be receptive of them, not be judgmental, not make them feel like, okay, just pick something, just buy something. If someone comes in and spends a half hour and they don't buy a thing, that doesn't make them a bad person. That just means that maybe they're a little apprehensive. Maybe they want to do some research.
Might have had some questions and not know how to ask.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I had a tough time. So I said, you know what? Damn it, I'll do it myself. Mm. So that's what morphed into Indulgence Boutique, which is a very sex positive, sexual health and wellness boutique designed to bring sexual couture. I did coin that phrase because I like to make everyone's experience with myself, with whomever my staff members may be, to be a personal experience, very unique adult experience, where whatever your sexual box is to take you outside of that, you could be gay, lesbian, straight, whatever. Whatever it is that your sexual persuasion, whatever your gender identification may be, we are receptive of everyone. LGBTQ friendly, heterosexual, whatever, but we don't judge anyone. And my vision is to be able to open it up for anyone who's everyone, that regardless of what, as long as you're age appropriate, no children, sorry guys. But as long as you're age appropriate, to be able to open up to your sexuality in a very sex positive environment where you don't really find that much unless you're in the major cities or, you know, yeah, in certain communities.
That's what I was going to ask. So where exactly is your store?
Princeton, New Jersey, right, is where I have my corporate office. And again, it's not open to the public just yet. I am turning into that. I am, you know, growing towards that. Right now I do home parties. I do sex coaching. I do expos, you know, as you guys know. I do vending events. Mm-hmm. So basically I try to travel to drivable areas, you know, whether it be Connecticut, Maryland, D.C., whatever, New York, New Jersey, to, you know, basically offer my services, right, you know, as I'm there, or just to give a card and make referrals for another time. So it's basically just opening myself up to the masses. You can find me online. You can email me directly, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I am on social media, Indulgence BTQ 69, and I'm on Facebook, Indulgence Boutique. So basically, my premise is basically to think outside of the box. Forget about what the norm says. What makes you happy? Because a lot of people are not very happy with themselves. And sex and positivity and orgasm, all of that starts within yourself. If you're not happy with yourself, if you can't identify with yourself, if you can't identify what makes you comfortable, you'll never be able to get to that blissful state.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And yeah, I can definitely... I was thinking about what you were talking about the stores not really existing in places that aren't major cities. And yeah, it's not just about whether or not you buy things. I grew up in New York and was very lucky to have Babeland open since by the time I was a teenager. And yeah, it's just going to a place where you're allowed to be yourself and think and talk to people. And sometimes it can be a little scary because all of a sudden you're talking to a stranger and you want to talk about, you know, your parts, but then you go and you've done it enough times. And so now I'm at the point where I walk into a sex toy and I'm like, all right, I got this one thing that goes in here, but it's not that big. And how can I do to add to it? And, you know, it's just like very straightforward. So kudos on you for trying to bring it to people who might not be in major cities. Miss Minas, am I wrong in considering you a sex toy aficionado?
I don't know about that, but now that you're saying it, I think one of our first like friendship things was that I told you to buy a certain vibrator.
Oh, the Nubby G.
Yes, the Nubby G. I wore out several Nubby G's, I think, actually.
Yeah, I went through two myself, and then I discussed this on episode 9, dating and fucking after divorce. So I had that toy, and then my fucking ex-girlfriend threw it out because, like, she realized I'd been using it with other people, which, not while I was dating her, but she was like, oh, how long have you had this, whatever, and then I was like, yeah, I've used it with other people, like, I've also used my pussy with other people, you know what I mean? And then she fucking threw it out, so that's great. And I don't know, do they still make the Nubby G?
I don't know, for all I know, they do, but I feel like strides have been made in sex toy technology since, like, I feel like a lot is, I mean, at least the higher end ones now don't have batteries that are, I mean, they're rechargeable. They don't have like the little insertable batteries.
Yeah,
which
they're
I
all
think
like
is
USB now.
Yeah, which I think is what kept breaking with it. Like, I think those little battery motors just aren't built to last. One of the things I want to talk about actually is sex toy etiquette and like the thing, like, I feel like there are a lot of people who are possibly myself included, but I've gotten over this. Like, I feel like a lot of people are a little squicked by the idea of using sex toys that have been previously used with another person. And I totally understand that when it comes to, I mean, what, first of all, with sex toys and, you know, you can share your expertise on this, but like you want to make sure they're clean because you can spread STDs that way. And ideally you want to, like, I like silicone, medical grade silicone. I like glass. I like metal because those are all things that you could boil or just like thoroughly disinfect.
Yeah.
But
again, you can always put condoms on stuff too. Most of the time for most materials.
And yeah, that's what I tend to do. Like, if I am in a situation where I am using a sex toy with somebody who is not me or not like my like steady partner, then yeah, I'll put a condom on it.
It's
easier cleanup.
So easy cleanup. Yeah.
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 I feel like there is, and it was part of what came to mind when you were like, ho ho, sex toy aficionado. I was like, I mean, I have a number of sex toys at this point in my life, and there is like, I think I have a slight, like, I love sex toys. You know, I also love not using sex toys, but I love sex toys. I think there's, you know, a great time and place for that. And they can really, you know, you could do things with sex toys that you can't do with your own body.
Yeah.
Which is neat. But as they've accumulated over the years, it starts to be a little like, if I'm seeing somebody new, I'm like, are they going to, like, am I going to be, like, that person with the, like, trunk of sex toys? Or am I going to, like, send,
I haven't opened it, but you do legit have, like, a trunk that you keep them in.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, and it's,
when I say trunk, we're talking, like, 1 by 2 feet, maybe? It's not huge.
It's
not a steamer trunk.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like, and I think, like, yeah, there is a thing where I'm a little hesitant. And I've noticed, I think both with men and women, but perhaps especially with men, is like, they can be a little, they're sometimes like, they're a little resistant to incorporating sex toys into partnered sex, especially if it's just like the two of us. And I wonder what that's about. Like, somebody said once that like the first time he was having sex with a woman who kind of brought out a dildo, he just had like an intense need for the dildo to be smaller than his dick was.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. And this is somebody who has a sizable dick. So it wasn't like not the dick size anxiety has anything to do with people's actual size, I think.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if that's part of it.
Yeah, maybe feeling like, oh, so I can't do the job for you. You need something else.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I mean, which I don't think is the, like, I mean, I've rarely brought out a sex toy because someone can't get me to orgasm. I mean, most of the people who I've been with have been fairly adept at making that happen. Since I mostly sleep with women, yeah, if I want a certain level of penetration, we'll be able to bring something out. But again, that's not like, oh, you can't do this for me. It's like, or, you know, without this, it's like, oh, this will be really fun if you do this to me. You know, it's kind of like how it is. I don't know. What do you think in your experience? Have you noticed when you deal with couples, is there sometimes an anxiety from one partner to another?
I think Sarah kind of hit it right on the head that there is that male ego, that stroke of the ego with, I wouldn't say the vast majority, but the typical male, because the non-typical male may enjoy swinging, may enjoy threesomes, may enjoy a poly relationship. What I find is that men that are more open to non-mainstream sexual relationships, they're more open to the sex toys, mm-hmm. regardless of how big, regardless of how small, because they're more interested in the pleasure portion of it than their male ego. Mm-hmm. Because they want you to be satisfied, their partner to be satisfied as much as they are, if mm-hmm. not more. So a lot of the, again, the masculine, manly men, you know, in mainstream America tend to feel like, you know, well, you know, I am thebomb.com, so I have I have all you need, all your, you know, whatever my skills are at, you know, 1,000, and right. I don't need any assistance, I don't need any direction, just, you know, let me give it to you straight, let me give you what you need, and you don't need anything else. So when you do introduce that, there is that sense of a threat, there is that sense of, you know, feeling like, you know, intimidated. But, you know, it's not always that. Sometimes it is. But, you know, there is that, you know.
Yeah, I think you're hearing potentially the landlord of the alley on the phone right outside the studio. So if you're hearing someone, it's not someone standing outside saying, "How dare you say this about my male fragile ego?" That'd be really funny if he was listening and banging on the and
yeah.
The, I think ego has a lot to do with it. And yeah, I mean, it's. I always find it difficult to talk about male ego a little bit because I deal with the male ego so little when it comes to sex and relationships. So sometimes I just kind of feel like I'm talking out of my ass and would throw someone under the bus. So I'm going to, while I think that's important and I think it's a very good point, I'm going to shift it over to my own experience so that I'm not just, you know, bullshitting. But I in two women relationships, I've dealt with ego stuff in regards to sex toys. And I will say that on both sides as well. As someone who considers themselves very sex positive and enjoys sex toys, I've also, like, kind of had once or twice been like, wait, why do we need to do this? But I realized that what was going on was in those situations, I just kind of felt like we already hadn't completely connected sexually. And so I also maybe we should talk about, like, the timing of when to bring in sex toys.
Timing is
everything. Cause like there was someone I was seeing who, you know, I was getting along fairly well with otherwise, but our sex wasn't spectacular when it was just us. And I felt like that had a lot to do with disconnect. And I actually felt like adding sex toys into that situation would have almost been too soon, because I felt like if we weren't yet comfortable using our own bodies with each other, adding something else into the mix could potentially kind of rile it up. And it just felt like wrong. That said, I've also had experiences with people where I've used sex toys on, like, the first or second time, and it's felt totally cool because we're already just so connected and into it with each other.
I think it has a lot to do with, one's comfort level with the other person and also the person's comfort level with sex toys. Because I've had the same experience. Like, there is some people where I think especially people who there was some level of like pre-negotiation of the kind of sex we were going to have, like that makes it much easier to just jump into using a sex toy. Like if you kind of, you know, if you're like sexting or whatever and you kind of mentioned that like that, you know, oh, it would be really hot if you, you know, use the butt plug on me or something like that, then that's kind of already on the table and you both know that that's the thing that you want and it's not hard to broach once you're naked. But if it's more, if it's a relationship where, you know, you started out by like, you know, just kissing and talking and then you're in bed and then it's, you know, you don't know, you have no idea what their, like what their baggage is, what their comfort level is or anything like that. And then it's like, for me, like I said, I do have a bunch of sex toys. I like to use them, but I'm not immune to feeling awkward about introducing them. I also think that, I mean, we were talking about like maybe do like male sex toys. Do people think of them as a gay thing? And I mean, I feel like people tend to assume that lesbians use sex toys all the time, which I feel like is kind of a flip side of that. They're like, oh, there's no penis involved, so clearly you need a penis. And like thus, you know, like there must always be a strap on or a dildo, which is,
there's not,
you know, not, you know. But, you know, the same thing there is like, as much as I like them, I think there's something to be said for using parts of your body that you can feel as opposed to plastic. And the other thing is like, you know, strap-ons work, you know, you can use strap-ons on people with male bodies.
Absolutely. That's actually probably my favorite use on the rare occasion I sleep with dudes. I like to go straight into their booty.
Get her diving in.
Yeah. You know, don't worry. I use lube. It's not like Brokeback style where I just spit on the dildo and start fucking. Do people come to you with questions about these? Like, when is it a good time to do this? Or
of course. I mean, again, like, I don't have your experience where you're like, you know, oh, well, you know, people that are close to me, whatever. I have perfect strangers. I can be sitting at a restaurant and perfect strangers will, I don't know if it just come, if it's something on my forehead that says, come talk to me about sex, because
I actually do, people do the same thing with me and Miss Manus, I think. I think we're all just screaming sex.
It's like, just come talk to me about your sexual problems. But I definitely, you know, agree with, you know, what you were saying when it said timing is everything, because it has to do with your comfort level. It has to do with your partner's comfort level. It has to do with your connection with each other. I 100% agree with, if you're not comfortable with the sex with the two bodies, introducing toys, while it might be a temporary fix, there's a deep-rooted issue there. Because if you feel like you have to introduce toys in order to take your sex to the next level or take it to the place where you're pleasured, then there's definitely an issue there, because the communication should be, hey, you know, you don't seem to be too comfortable, or maybe I'm not comfortable, or maybe you didn't orgasm this time. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Can you guide me? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people feel intimidated by feeling inferior. Maybe there's that inferiority complex or whatever, or feeling like, you know, I can't ask the questions. But the communication is so important. If you don't feel like you can communicate with your partner, then maybe there's other evaluations that need to be had.
Yeah.
Sex toys aren't the answer to everything.
Right.
They're just kind of like the toppings on the already delectable dessert. You know, something that's already tasty, something that's already great by itself, and the toppings just kind of enhance that.
Right.
But if sex toys are your everything, my fear is that you'll get to the place where it's never enough. Mm. You'll always have to step it up even more, especially if you tend to be with this person for any elongated period of time.
Yeah. Well, the only counter to that I have is, it's funny because like I was the one who brought it up, and now I'm like, no. That I do know some people who legit don't even have orgasms with themselves without sex toys. Like, can't, for whatever reason, they don't get there. And I don't know that I've known any men that feel that way, but I've known some women. Most of whom are friends, but one or two that I've actually that I didn't date, but slept with. And but the thing is, they told me that really early on. So they were like, before we even necessarily like started like really going for it, mm-hmm. it was just something that they disclaimed. They're like, you know, just so you know, I don't really come that often from just, you know, from like a mouth or a hand or, you know, whatever. I don't even usually with myself very much. I kind of need the intense vibration. But again, that comes down to being honest. And so for them, a sex toy might. And there are times that I had sex with them where we didn't use a sex toy at all, but they were just also kind of like, nah, I'm good. And I'm like, all right, well. But like, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really about being honest. For them, a sex toy might always have to be part of it in order for them to get to a certain level. But
even with that, though, and not to cut you off, but even with that, I mean, I'm of the mind, and again, I don't consider myself to be a clinical expert, but I feel as though our bodies are made for pleasure. Our bodies are made to be able to attain that. So if something is unattainable, then again, I feel like there's a deeper rooted issue, whether it's your mind is too busy, your body is not relaxed, you're not comfortable, maybe you're not hitting the right spots. But if you have to take it to 1,000 just to get yourself there, there's something else. And it could be something as simple as just getting the blood flowing down there, which doesn't have to come with a toy. It can come with something as simple as a stimulant, you know, something that, you know, Kegel exercises. A lot of mm-hmm. women tend to neglect the necessity of Kegel exercises, or Kegel, whichever. I don't know, whichever you prefer. But for Kegel exercises, it helps to enhance, to build up the pelvic floor, which in turn can intensify your orgasm. It gets the blood flowing. It gets those muscles tangible and pliable and working with you and with your partner or without. So there's different pieces that can be put together that can help you build up to that place to where you won't need it. And again, this is just my personal opinion that, you know, there is some other something that's happening, whether they identified it yet or not.
I don't know. I don't see that. The reason I don't think that I agree with that necessarily. I'm sure there are situations, and I know that from my personal experience, when there are occasions when I have sex and I don't come, there's usually a reason I can point out because of that. And sometimes it's mental and not letting go mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But the reason I'm hesitant to think that there's necessarily something like deep rooted is that like a lot of these people who I know are like, I would consider the most like sex positive, exploratory, really people who would at like basically, and they've done all the stuff and they know. Now that said, sure, there could also be an underlying physical thing, but I don't know that physical thing is necessarily a problem. Some people are just, and have been for most of their lives, less sensitive in certain areas. And yeah, you're probably right. There probably are things that they could do. Kegel exercises for one, whatever. But if that person has felt like they've done all the stuff they need to do to try and make it happen for them and it just hasn't, and they're like happy and satisfied with like using sex toys, I feel like, you know, more power to them.
Why not? Yeah, whatever works for people. And yeah. And also, I'm kind of like, if, like you said, like sometimes there might be people who can only come with sex toys, but they're having sex and they don't want to use one. I mean, sex is not always about having an orgasm. That's every true. Time.
Yeah.
It can be fun anyway. I always, whenever somebody mentions Kegel exercises, I'm like, oh, that's right. I should be doing them. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm doing them right now.
Yeah. Do you actually, yeah, I actually, at the Sexual Health Expo, did you go by that booth, Miss Manus and Rena, that sold the Kegel, like, detectors?
Nope.
There's, like, all these new fancy things out there where, like, I don't know what it does, but it
Kegel
somehow.
Detectors?
Okay. So, like, there's some sort of toy out there. I'm sure it's maybe not the only one, but So it's like some sort of toy that you put inside you when you're doing Kegels, and then it records how many you've done, and then you can connect it to like an app. It's kind of like a fitness tracker
yeah,
for your Kegels.
Tons of those. Oh yeah, I was like detector. Oh, yeah. Do we not know where that is?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. I actually remember this from when I used to work at a big pregnancy website that I shall not name. Yeah, there's like a thing now where like you can Oh, I'm confusing that with something else. There's like a microphone you can stuff up your vagina so that your baby can like listen to music.
Or listen to our podcast.
Or listen to our podcast if that's the direction you want to take it in. But yeah, there's all kind of like app connectable, like insertables that you can track all kinds of stuff with. But I feel like the thing about, I don't know, the thing about like how easy it is to achieve orgasm and like, you know, only being able to do it with sex toys and that kind of thing. Am I crazy or is there almost like I feel like that can get touchy in the same way that like dick size can get touchy for men, where it's like there's a certain kind of like, yeah, I can come super easily. Like that's like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. there's a certain kind of status to mm-hmm. being able to orgasm really, really easily.
Huh.
Or I don't know. Is it just me? Like when I maybe it's just my competitive streak.
No, I believe it. And you know what? No offense to anyone that's listening, but I blame porn. Because the porn industry, you know, you have whether it's, you know, male, male, female, whatever, you have the, and it's like, stop.
Yeah.
It is not that easy.
Yeah.
So I blame porn for a lot of this, you know, I can, and it's like sometimes like, really, dude, like, really, did you really orgasm? Or was that just you stroking an ego?
Yeah.
I mean, it really, you know, some people mistake what a true orgasm is. You know, what it is for your body to go through those, you know, the blood flow and all of that. The convulsions and the uncontrollable whatever, you know, so I, whatever.
Fully. Yeah, no, I'm more likely to like act to be quote unquote screaming, not when I'm coming, but like when I'm enjoying the pleasure that like if it's like a big pounding or like something like that, like that might make me scream, but like an orgasm doesn't necessarily make me yelp. Like, you know, like, and I don't, yeah, I know what you mean by that disconnect that there were like, oh, this is what an orgasm is and this is how easy it is to get to. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, hi, we're recording
we're live.
A live show, but
hey, live hi. Show, how y'all doing? This is the live landlord, come collect some live rent. Where's Sherry?
Sorry. I believe she's in Florida, actually.
Yeah. Oh, let me see what she.
Yeah.
All right. apparently, our station head needs to pay her rent for the studio. Okay. So, okay. FYI. That was fascinating. Very fascinating.
I think there's a with orgasms, somewhat off topic for sex toys, but whatever. We like going off topic.
Very much so.
I think two things just from my own experience. One is that from masturbating as like a teenager, I think I conditioned myself to be quiet when I orgasm because, you know, you're not going to be like in the family bathroom being like, ah,
oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, I think it feels really loud in my head when I have an orgasm. Like I think I'm being loud, but I've been told that I actually go totally silent.
Yeah, I'm generally pretty quiet. There are times where it's louder, but it's so, I can't tell you why and how, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's not like necessarily something was happening or whatever, but yeah, I mean, no, I'm more likely to piss the neighbors off by like what I'm saying when it's happening or like what, you know what I mean? It's not the coming that usually, But in addition to conditioning yourself to be quiet, I actually come a lot easier, like, especially if someone's going down on me, when I have a pillow over my face. And it's because A, I was masturbating as a kid and put a pillow over my face, and B, you know, I'm a New Yorker and, you know, I've had roommates forever. The walls are thin and the people I've dated usually have roommates. And,
sorry, I already got it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He already got the rent, so that's good to know.
That's only in New York, guys.
Yeah. Don't worry, Sherry. You're squared up, apparently.
Oh my God.
Anyway. But yeah, and so sometimes it's funny, like if I'm like in an empty house or whatever, and then I start getting there, I just instinctively reach for a pillow and like put it over my face, even if I don't even have to worry about like anyone hearing
because
it.
Because it's that let go.
Yeah.
That let go moment. It's that moment where you can be totally and completely free to scream as loud as you want, and you know no one's gonna hear you. So it's that, you know, that surrender is pretty awesome. And if you find someone that you can do that with, that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah. Are you allowed to talk about trying any of those toys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Tango would love for us to talk about trying them. Yes, and the spouse volunteered to like record a review segment, but I'll just say that I think we received 3 free product samples, and we've tried 2 out of 3, which is another thing. Like, it hadn't really occurred to me before, but like, you can use those male masturbation toys like in partnered sex. Like, there's no, and they're actually like, I will say that I did feel like I was a little bit like on the other end of things, where I was like, wait, you want me to, but like, what's wrong with my hands, you know?
For like oral play, like just as kind of like a hack, like for oral play, depending on what type of male masturbator you're using, there's some that's open on both ends. So if you have someone that is more well endowed, you can kind of, because there's like this hack of the grapefruit, but aside from the grapefruit, you know, they have the silicone male masturbators that you can put on, and that'll take up about 4 or 5 inches, and then you use your hand to stroke it, of course, with the water-based lube, but you use your hands to stroke it and your mouth
on the head?
For the head of the penis.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of gives the illusion, if you keep the seal with your mouth, you know, this is a little, you know, blowjob technique, guys. But if you use your mouth as a seal to cover the head of the penis with the stroker close to you, it'll feel as though with the warmth of your breath, the warmth of your saliva and the water-based lube as you stroke and as you grind on it, it feels as though your mouth is like completely covered the entire male member.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good hack.
No, that's a good one. That's similar to, I don't think Dan Savage mentioned it with the sleeve, but there was someone wrote into him a few years ago and was just like, oh, I don't know what to do. I just can't deep throat. It's not going to whatever. And he's like, well, not everyone can deep throat. And so he was just basically like, yeah, use your fist to grab the shaft while you're like, you know, get it all wet, lick it. So it's like, and when he's really into it, he's not even paying attention to what's in there because he's going to be feeling good. But that's actually, for those who are deep throat conscious, that's a great tip. Yeah.
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 First, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your eyebrows went up a little bit. Do you know about the grapefruit thing? Because I think it's kind of funny. Do you?
No. The only grapefruit thing I know of are those videos about masturbating on fruits that look like vaginas, but I assume that's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
No. It's a grapefruit hack that basically you take a pretty good sized grapefruit and you cut off both ends and, you kind of, you know, pick the, it depends on the girth of the guy, but you kind of pick the, you know, the girth, and maybe you'll cut out a little bit if he's a little girthy. And, you know, as you're, you know, stroking him or as you're masturbating, you use the grapefruit. So the grapefruit is cold, it's wet, it's, you know, so.
See, the problem is I hate grapefruit. but I also very rarely, like, only once a year when I'm single, deal with penis. So this is not something I have to worry about, but yeah, is there something, maybe an orange would be too small, but,
well, I mean, it depends again on your partner. It depends on, you know, who it is. If he's really girthy, you might, but it's just basically the pulp of it. It kind of gives them that, you know, good feeling or whatever. I don't know, because then to me, the grapefruit is good for if you want to try it, but then, you know, if I want penetration afterwards, I'm not exactly going to burn myself up with all the acidity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
That's right. You're going to have to wash that dick.
Wash it off.
Wash
and
that
all
that. Oh, my God.
I mean, if you're dealing with water-based lube, stroke it off and jump on that thing and just, you know, go to town. Ride them cowgirl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Or cowboy, whatever.
Do you mind if I ask how you stand in your orientation and all that? We usually, our joke is that we're the opposite of job interviews because we ask all these questions you shouldn't have. But
of course.
But we're always curious among guests.
Well, I am married with children.
Married to a man?
Oh, okay, I am married to a man with children.
Yep.
Oh, don't slap it. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you can slap it. You can slap it. Just don't slap the mic, but there are lots of things you can slap. No, that's great. How long have you been married?
13 years.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
And I've been with him for 15 years. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's been a long journey. And people always ask, well, what does your husband say about this? And I'm like, you know, he doesn't say much. He's just like, oh, okay, yeah. So I don't even know if he's going to listen to, right. to this. Honestly, a lot of times I tell people if your spouse or your partner or whomever is not 100% into what you're into, it's probably best you don't let them mm-hmm. hear you talking about blowjobs.
Yeah.
No, I think probably best you don't.
Miss Manus and I have, Miss Manus has been doing the show with me for a few episodes now, but I've been doing it. It's tricky when you're, one of your jobs is talking about sex and then you also like have someone else. And so, it's interesting, yeah, to say the least.
I try
to not let any bombs drop that I haven't like dropped to my partner. and then if I say something and I'm like, wait, have I even ever discussed that with her? Then like before she listens, I give her the heads up. I'm like, just so you know, I said this thing and mm-hmm. like this is what that thing means to me and like blah blah blah. Do you and your spouse, Miss Manus, have this?
I don't think there's been any like truth bombs that I dropped on the show that he's yeah. unaware of. I have like kind of pre-negotiated a little bit before a couple of shows where like I thought stuff might come up that had to do with us, because I don't really want to put our personal business out there.
Yeah,
especially if it's stuff that he and I have not talked enough about yet. Right. Maybe. Yeah. I just don't want there to be like surprises, and I think it's always best to communicate with people directly about stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's definitely like it's a little bit of a tricky line to walk sometimes.
It is. But yeah, no, I'm the same way. Before I mention anything about my girlfriend on the show, even if it's just like that something was so pretty, she wished she had a dick, I say, can I say that on the show? Is that okay? And then she's like, you know, and so far, I don't think she said no to anything, but I'm sure that there are plenty of things I could say that she would not want me to say. On that note, maybe we should actually start closing down. Is that okay?
Sure.
I know we have a few minutes, but...
An hour goes so fast.
Yeah, but I just think that we should do our proper goodbyes and thank yous. So you already gave us all your social media links, and do you have a particular website?
I do. My website is www.XXX, don't forget the XXX, keep it sexy, XXXIndulgenceBoutique.com.
All right, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And did you have something else you wanted to say, Ms. Manus, before closing out?
Use sex toys, don't use sex toys, keep it fun, always wash those sex toys.
Yeah, always wash those sex toys, use a condom if you don't. Yeah.
With the washing of the sex toys, I'm sorry, forgive me for whoever maybe puts it out there, the whole soap and water thing. I am of the mind that if it's an insertable toy, you should use proper toy cleaner mm-hmm. because of the soap and water. There are certain soaps that leave a residue.
Yeah.
And inserting it into your body with soap residue is not good. Male, female, whatever, it does create bacteria, and it's not the friendly bacteria, and it causes infection. Mm-hmm. So it's so much better to use a medical grade toy cleaner that is meant specifically for that, because if there is a residue, you're not going to get some type of EBGB nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and boiling works great for silicone and glass and stuff. You can make yourself yeah. a nice little toy suit.
Boiling is good. I also, did you guys see at the Health Expo, there are all those kits now, the UV lights?
Yes.
Those actually seem really interesting. I haven't done any research on myself to know if they actually work, but like... In theory, you can get these kits that have these UV lights that kill the bacteria.
I mean,
and
it's,
they charge your toys at the same time. Some yeah. of them as well.
I mean, it's what they use at like nail parlors and stuff to disinfect like clippers. So I'm yeah. assuming that somebody approved it for. I mean, like I don't know. The Department of Health thinks it's enough to mm-hmm. disinfect stuff that they use to like cut into your calluses with. So I'm gonna assume it disinfects stuff. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've wondered about that. The nail parlor. To be honest, but mm-hmm. yeah.
They say like surgeons use those as well, but I don't know if that's true. That could have just been someone that, whatever. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you, Rina, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're very excited to have you. And everyone, just have fun. All right, bye.